You can't exactly rely on jokes about the hood or the goyim when you're a comic named Alexandra Wentworth and you're a descendant of the captain of the Mayflower. Wentworth's mother was Nancy Reagan's social secretary. But Alexandra Wentworth still found a style of ethnic humor about being a wasp. Now, just in time for the holiday season, she's written the Wasp Cookbook, filled with all sorts of bland fare. Wentworth was a regular on In Living Color and has made frequent appearances on The Tonight Show, often spoofing the world of supermodels. I asked her to share a recipe that screams wasp.
Prune whip.
Yes.
prune whip is, well, I love the reaction it gets, first and foremost. It is, wasps have never been big on sweets, so prune whip is a pretty typical dessert. It's also sort of bland, and it's got that kind of blah color, which is a trademark of our culinary treats. So I would say prune whip, but I would also say some of the basics are like chipped creamed beef on toast and tomato aspic. Things like that are things that are kind of recurring in on wasp dining room tables.
Were you served a lot of prune whip in your formative years?
I was. I don't know if it stunted my formation, but I had prune whip on quite a few occasions that my mother made.
So how much of the food that you ate when you were young was prepared by a cook at home, and how much was prepared by family?
I would say 85% by other people, cook or occasionally my mother, she socialized a lot and she had a lot of parties, so she would hire people to come in and cook. And they would also cook for us, you know, at 6 o'clock and then cook for the dinner. And then my mother cooked usually on Sunday nights. And she had a tendency to take everything in the refrigerator, put it in the Cuisinart, put mashed potatoes on top, and bake it in a casserole dish.
I hope she's not listening now.
So Sunday was a fasting day for us kids.
Now, let me ask you in rapid succession a couple of questions that you pose in the Wasp Cookbook. First is, what distinguishes a wasp wedding from any other wedding?
There's no food at the wasp wedding. There's plenty of alcohol. There's no food.
And more
people have responded to that by telling me, that's so true. I went to a wasp wedding last year and there was no food. They served crackers and cheese and that's it. And I found myself on many occasions being at a wedding. One of them was a wedding off an island in Cape Cod. And so you were kind of boated in there and you were stranded there for 24 hours and there was no town. You know, there was no Domino's pizza, there was nothing. So you were kind of in the hands of these people. And they literally served crackers and cheese for dinner. And then we had nothing till the next day. And I was with my 6'4" Jewish boyfriend who needs to eat, you know, plenty of protein a day or he gets protein headaches. And I promised him the next day at brunch that there would be, you know, eggs Benedict and things. And we got to brunch and they served tiny little Danishes and coffee. And he told me he was going into the house to call the Red Cross because he found it irresponsible and horrible. And a lot of my Jewish friends have said, you know, it's the opposite at Jewish weddings because it's all about the food. There's tons of food. And it's part of the ritual of a wedding is, you know, eating this great cuisine, which is not the case at a wasp wedding.
Another question you raise, how can you tell a wasp funeral from a luncheon?
I think I said solid colors at a funeral, stripes at a luncheon. It's all about fashion.
Now, explain this joke to me.
Well, you would never wear a pinstripe suit to a funeral. You would wear a pinstripe suit to a luncheon because it's a little more festive and a little lighter. But you would wear your dark gray flannels, your Brooks Brothers suit, to a funeral.
So it's a pretty somber dress for the luncheons, huh?
That's right. And, you know, a big kind of white chiffon hat at a luncheon and, of course, a black, possibly Chanel, if you've been to Europe, black hat at a funeral.
Your last name is Wentworth.
Yes.
I'm not sure if Noel Coward has written a song with Mrs. Wentworth in the title, as he has for Mrs. Worthington. Mm-hmm. But if he didn't, he could have.
Absolutely.
What did you think of your name when you were growing up and what it signified?
I liked my last name growing up because it seemed very common to me. I mean, because there were Whitfords and you know, Saltonstalls and all kinds of names like that. It seemed very normal to me to be Wentworth. It was Alexandra that I had the problem with. Because Alexandra seemed like an outrageous name to me when I was little because everybody was Kate or Elizabeth or Anne. And so Alexandra seemed, it was very ethnic because it was Russian to me. So I always felt like Alexandra was the problem area of my name, much more so than Wentworth.
Why were you named Alexandra?
My mother, when she was pregnant, was reading the book Nicholas and Alexandra and thought it was so wonderful to name me after Queen Alexandra. And then she finished the book after I was 6 months old and Alexandra gets shot. It's a very horrible, tragic ending to her life. But it was too late to change my name. But the funny thing is that all WASPs have nicknames that are completely irrelevant to whatever their full name is. So I grew up with a nickname my whole life. And so,
what was it?
It was Dabber.
Dabber?
D-A-B-B-E-R, which was, I was named after Dr. Doolittle's duck, Dab Dab, because she used to talk a lot. But everybody in my family, my older sister's name is Elizabeth, and she's been called Sissy her whole life, to the point where I don't think people know that Elizabeth is her real name. So it's very typical to have a very kind of long, grand name and be called Binky or Bootsy or, something ridiculous.
Well, your mother was Muffy, right?
Yeah. But her real name's Mabel, but she was called Muffy since she was very, very, very little. And, back when it wasn't kind of a preppy nickname. It was a cute, I think it was short for Muffin or something at the time.
Did you have a coming out party?
I did, yes. That was sort of the beginning of the end because I had a coming out party and I wasn't looking forward to it like every other girl. And I didn't, go on a diet to fit in my beautiful white silk dress like everybody else. I didn't care about the dress and I wouldn't wear the long white gloves. And at a debutante ball, you're supposed to have, at the time for us, and when I came out in Washington, now coming out in the 90s means a completely different thing. This was a cotillion ball. And you invited 7 male escorts to escort you to the ball. And everybody had these kind of, fancy, aristocratic, waspy boys. And I had long-haired hippies and all kinds of crazy guys that didn't even understand what a debutante ball was. So that was sort of the beginning of... That's when my mother raised her eyebrows and thought, oh, my God, I've raised a non-traditional WASP.
I'll confess, I don't really understand what a debutante ball is.
Well, I didn't understand it either until I was briefed on it a couple weeks before the actual event. And my parents said, you're marrying society. And I said, how awful. I don't want to marry. That's a lot of people to marry. But that's sort of what it is. You're presented to society as a... upstanding and fit lady to be, to be approached for marriage. They're saying you're from the right family and you're adequate, if not more, marriage material, as well as you're sort of married to society. And I remember we had these little pastries that were swans, kind of dough swans with vanilla ice cream in it and raspberries. And somebody stood up and said, tonight you've gone from little ducklings to swans. And I thought, oh, what a horrible image. So I didn't know much about it. And having gone through it, I can say it's not worth it. All you little girls out there, read a book.
Did you ever want to be a member of a righteous, oppressed minority group instead of the group that's used as shorthand for privilege in America?
I don't know. I don't think there's any group I ever wanted to belong to. In any way. I mean, even politically, I'm sort of a free-floating political person. But there's no group per se, except maybe the Beatles.
I think that your mother was a social secretary for Nancy Reagan when Mrs. Reagan was first lady. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. She was social secretary to the White House.
Wow. your mother must have traveled in a very powerful social circle.
She did. She was quite a big hostess in Washington. And then as social secretary, she was responsible for all the social obligations, all the state dinners, the social reputation of the president, Nancy Reagan, at the time, which is a lot of pressure. I mean, it's beyond WASP. It's just everything you do has to be right. I remember there was this whole, tablecloth and china debacle back then. And, my mother didn't sleep for a week. It was so horrible. We'd spent too much money on the china, and it was on Newsweek and Time. And I thought, Mom, these are interesting problems for somebody to have, especially when everything she did was looked at through the nation's eyes.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Alexandra Wentworth. She's a comic and writer and author of the new book, The Wasp Cookbook. You may have seen her also on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Let's take a short break and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Back with comic Alexandra Wentworth. You might have seen her on The Tonight Show, driving around the country in a $7 car, or reporting on the fashion world. Her new book is called The Wasp Cookbook. How did you get cast as a member of In Living Color? My understanding is the auditions were for an African-American man when you got hired.
Yes. One of the freaks of my life. I had to audition a few times, and I came in with each time five different characters and monologues that I had written. And I kept hearing they were looking for an African-American male, because at the time it was to replace Damon Wayans, who was leaving the show. And I kept being informed of that, but yet I kept having another audition. So I thought, well, I mean, something's going right, or they're going to hire me to be a fly girl or a makeup artist or something on the show. And then they finally hired me, and I was incredibly surprised and thrilled, because at the time I was very involved in sketch comedy and loved that world. And for my parents, it was a huge surprise. I mean, by telling them I was going to be an actress, you know, it was shocking to them anyway. And they sort of assumed that I would go off and do, you know, Yale Repertory Theater with Jeremy Irons and do Tom Stoppard plays. So when I called them and I said, I got this show in Living Color, you know, they didn't know what it was, and they watched it a few times, and they didn't really understand it, but they understood that it was good that I got a job.
You've made a lot of guest appearances on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. How did you start appearing on the show?
I came on when I was on In Living Color as a guest to, you know, promote In Living Color. And they were very nervous about it. They kept going over my segment, you know, hundreds of times, because I thought, oh, this poor little blonde girl, she's not going to know what to do, and she's going to sit there and shake in her chair. And I kept saying, no, I can't wait to do this. I love to talk. And I went out there and actually had a great time with Jay. I don't think he ever asked me a question. I think I was so full of adrenaline that I just, like a bulldozer, I just went through my whole interview and just told some funny stories and did impressions, and we had a great time. And they said, you know, we'd love to have you back. And so they had me back pretty soon after that. And then they had me back again. And then they were, you know, they'd call me because Melanie Griffith had the flu, and could I come in and, you know, tell some funny stories and be a guest. And then I had done it so many times that I finally said, look, is there something else I can do on the show? Because I think people are going to get sick of me coming in and talking about, like, you know, how I stuffed my chicken last night. So Jay actually came up with the idea of buying the $7 car and driving it across country.
Yeah, tell us the premise of that.
Well, there's a car dealership in Atlanta, and every year the car dealer sells all his cars that are remaining in his lot for $7 each. And this is absolutely true, and people line up for a week before. I mean, sit there with a thermos of coffee and a sleeping bag waiting to get a car for $7. So Jay bought one of these cars, a white Brougham, and wanted to see if it would make it across the country, if I could drive it across the country. And so that was the premise, but that's pretty much all we had. And I was sort of sent on my way with a crew, and every day we would be in a different spot, and I would, like, make a short film about whatever happened that day. If we were in Texas, I was eating a 72-ounce steak, which, you know, if you finish the whole thing, you get it for free. Or, you know, we went through Oklahoma, and I would make a 5-minute film on what I did that day. And then I would go live from wherever we were to The Tonight Show with Jay. So it was probably the hardest week in my life, because we were not only traveling at night, but I would be shooting. You know, you'd be in the middle of a, you know, cow patty in Nowheresville, and I'd be trying to think of, okay, what's funny? What can I grab that's funny? What can we shoot? And, you know, so I ended up relying on a lot of physical comedy and a lot of, you know, cheese whiz in my mouth kind of thing, because sometimes we weren't around a lot. And then I would be writing jokes, because Jay and I would be going live, and, you know, I wanted that to be kind of funny and crazy, and here I was somewhere in America. So it was incredibly stressful, and I remember I was eating like 3 Big Macs and French fries and milkshakes every day, and I lost like 5 pounds.
So how was the car? How did it hold up?
Car held up great. It made it all the way across the country. And I believe that The Tonight Show still has it on the lot somewhere. They were going to give it to me, and I very politely said no. But it was a great car. It really was. I mean, definitely worth $7.
Alexandra Wentworth, she's the author of The Wasp Cookbook.